The Imitation of Christ by Thomas A. Kempis, Book 3, the 58th chapter. High matters and the hidden judgments of God are not to be scrutinized. The Voice of Christ. My child, beware of discussing high matters and God's hidden judgments. Why this person is so forsaken, and why that one is favored with so great a grace, or why one man is so afflicted, and another so highly exalted. Such things are beyond all human understanding, and no reason or disputation can fathom the judgments of God. When the enemy puts such suggestions in your mind, therefore, or when some curious persons raise questions about them, answer with the prophet, "Thou art just, O Lord, and righteous are your judgments." And this, "The judgments of the Lord are true and wholly righteous." My judgments are to be feared, not discussed, because they are incomprehensible to the understanding of men. In like manner, do not inquire or dispute about the merits of the saints, as to which is more holy, or which shall be greater in the kingdom of heaven. Such things often breed strife and useless contentions. They nourish pride and vainglory, whence arise envy and quarrels, when one proudly tries to exalt one saint, and one another. A desire to know and pry into such matters brings forth no fruit. On the contrary, it displeases the saints, because I am the God, not of dissension, but of peace, of that peace which consists in true humility rather than in self-exaltation. Some are drawn by the ardor of their love with greater affection to these saints or to those, but this affection is human and not divine. I am he who made all the saints. I gave them grace. I brought them to glory. I know the merits of each of them. I came before them in the blessings of my sweetness. I knew my beloved ones before the ages. I chose them out of the world. They did not choose me. I called them by grace. I drew them on by mercy. I led them safely through various temptations. I poured into them glorious consolations. I gave them perseverance, and I crowned their patience. I know the first and the last. I embrace them all with love inestimable. I am to be praised in all my saints. I am to be blessed above all things, and honored in each of those whom I have exalted and predestined so gloriously, without any previous merits of their own. He who despises one of the least of mine, therefore, does no honor to the greatest, for both the small and the great I made. And he who disparages one of the saints disparages me also, and all others in the kingdom of heaven. They are all one through the bond of charity. They have the same thought and the same will, and they mutually love one another. But, what is a much greater thing, they love me more than themselves or their own merits. Wrapped above themselves and drawn beyond love of self, they are entirely absorbed in love of me, in whom they rest. There is nothing that can draw them away or depress them, for they are filled with eternal truth and burn with the fire of unquenchable love. Therefore, let carnal and sensual men, who know only how to love their own selfish joys, forbear to dispute about the state of God's saints. Such men take away and add according to their own inclinations, and not as it pleases the eternal truth. In many, this is sheer ignorance, especially in those who are but little enlightened and can rarely love anyone with a purely spiritual love. They are still strongly drawn by natural affection and human friendship to one person or another, and on their behavior in such things here below are based their imaginings of heavenly things. But there is an incomparable distance between the things which the imperfect imagine and those which enlightened men contemplate through revelation from above. Be careful, then, my child, of treating matters beyond your knowledge out of curiosity. Let it rather be your business and aim to be found, even though the least, in the kingdom of God. For though one were to know who is more holy than another, or who is greater in the kingdom of heaven, of what value would this knowledge be to him, unless out of it he should humble himself before me, and rise up in greater praise of my name? The man who thinks of the greatness of his own sins, and the littleness of his virtues, and of the distance between himself and the perfection of the saints, acts much more acceptably to God than the one who argues about who is greater and who is less. It is better to invoke the saints with devout prayers and tears, and with a humble mind to beg their glorious aid, than to search with vain inquisitiveness into their secrets. The saints are well and perfectly contented if men know how to content themselves and cease their useless discussions. They do not glory in their own merits, for they attribute no good to themselves, but all to me, because out of my infinite charity I gave all to them. They are filled with such love of God and with such overflowing joy that no glory is wanting to them, and they can lack no happiness. All the saints are so much higher in glory as they are more humble in themselves, nearer to me, and more beloved by me. Therefore, you find it written that they cast down their crowns before God, and fell down on their faces before the Lamb, and adored him who lives forever. Many ask, who is the greater in the kingdom of heaven, when they do not know whether they themselves shall be worthy of being numbered among its least? It is a great thing to be even the least in heaven, where all are great, because all shall be called, and shall be, the children of God. The least shall be as a thousand, and the sinner of 100 years shall die. For when the disciples asked who should be greater in the kingdom of heaven, they heard this response: unless you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whosoever shall humble himself like this little child, he is the greater in the kingdom of heaven. Woe to those, therefore, who disdain to humble themselves willingly with the little children, for the low gate of the heavenly kingdom will not permit them to enter. Woe also to the rich who have their consolations here, for when the poor enter into God's kingdom, they will stand outside lamenting. Rejoice, you humble, and exult, you poor, for the kingdom of God is yours, if only you walk in the truth. Chapter 59. All hope and trust are to be fixed in God alone. The Disciple. What, Lord, is the trust which I have in this life? Or what is my greatest comfort among all the things that appear under heaven? Is it not you, O Lord my God, whose mercies are without number? Where have I ever fared well but for you? Or how could things go badly when you were present? I had rather be poor for your sake than rich without you. I prefer rather to wander on the earth with you than to possess heaven without you. Where you are, there is heaven, and where you are not, are death and hell. You are my desire, and therefore I must cry after you and sigh and pray. In none can I fully trust to help me in my necessities, but in you alone, my God. You are my hope. You are my confidence. You are my consoler, most faithful in every need. All seek their own interests. You, however, place my salvation and my profit first, and turn all things to my good. Even though exposing me to various temptations and hardships, you who are accustomed to prove your loved ones in 1,000 ways, order all this for my good. You ought not to be loved or praised less in this trial than if you had filled me with heavenly consolations. In you, therefore, O Lord God, I place all my hope and my refuge. On you I cast all my troubles and anguish, because whatever I have outside of you, I find to be weak and unstable. It will not serve me to have many friends, nor will powerful helpers be able to assist me, nor prudent advisers to give useful answers, nor the books of learned men to console, nor any precious substance win my freedom, nor any place, secret and beautiful though it be, to shelter me, if you yourself do not assist, comfort, console, instruct, and guard me. For all things which seem to be for our peace and happiness are nothing when you are absent, and truly confer no happiness. You indeed are the fountain of all good, the height of life, the depth of all that can be spoken. To trust in you above all things is the strongest comfort of your servants. My God, the Father of mercies, to you I look, in you I trust. Bless and sanctify my soul with heavenly benediction, so that it may become your holy dwelling and the seat of your eternal glory. And in this temple of your dignity, let nothing be found that might offend your majesty. In your great goodness, and in the multitude of your mercies, look upon me, and listen to the prayer of your poor servant, exiled from you in the region of the shadow of death. Protect and preserve the soul of your poor servant among the many dangers of this corruptible life, and direct him, by your accompanying grace, through the ways of peace, to the land of everlasting light. End of Book 3.